will be a good one, and that the estate will start to make money again. Are matters really that bad, Mother? Moira looked at her pleadingly. I'm afraid they are, my darling. And yes, we may have to postpone our plans to visit Edinburgh. I am sure that I can find diversions here at Lednock, replied Moira bravely. And if Mr. Harwood is to be our guest, then I can take him out riding along the brae. The Countess smiled gratefully at her daughter. She was so proud of her. Although she had not inherited her own red hair and green eyes, she was the image of her father. The dark eyes, the noble brow, and the thick mass of dark brown hair. She was barely 18, but the Countess could see that Moira was becoming a beauty in her own special way. That would be lovely, dearest. Now, I must see that this room is fit to receive our guest. I think your father is coming round to the idea, and we should make ready. Over the next week, the castle was cleaned from top to bottom by a group of women who lived locally. The Countess had retained only a small staff at Lednock, and having such an important visitor meant she needed more help. She was mindful of making a good impression on their American guest. Moira helped her father send out invitations for a weekend shooting party. She addressed the envelopes to a whole host of local worthies, many of whom they had not entertained for quite some time. Then the day eventually dawned when the mysterious Larry Harwood was due to arrive. The castle was in a frenzy of activity, so Moira and Ewan went on a long walk to avoid the bustle. "I wonder what this American fellow will be like," mused Moira, with just the tiniest hint of romantic interest. "Do you think he will be young and handsome?" "Probably old and fat, if he is a friend of the Cunninghams," replied Ewan sarcastically. "I have never met an American before," continued Moira as they strode amongst the heather. "They say that they can be a trifle loud and boastful."
"And they say that all Scots are mean and dour," answered Ewan with a smile.
"So we will show him that's not true either, won't we?" "Ewan, do you really think that the estate is in terrible trouble?" He took his sister's hand and squeezed it gently. "I ken that a good harvest would change our fortunes. So, that is what we must pray for. Come now, sister, I will race you to the top of the brae."
Larry Harwood arrived that Friday after breakfast, and everyone except the Earl came out to greet him. It had been a long time since the castle had seen so much luggage or commotion.
"Welcome to Lednock Castle," called the Countess, walking out to greet their visitor. "I do hope you will enjoy your stay with us."
Harwood was short, corpulent, and in his late 30s. His clothes were very different from anything the family had ever seen, and he wore a large hat on top of slicked down brown hair. The Countess noted that his choice of tie was a trifle garish for the country, and that his boots would not stand him in good stead should he wish to go for walks. Upon seeing him for the first time, Moira shuddered to think that she had entertained any notions that he might provide a romantic diversion.
"Your ladyship," he cried, grasping the Countess's hand so firmly that she thought her bones would break. His beady blue eyes were watery and disappeared into creases of fat when he smiled.
"Thank you so much for inviting me into your home. I've never stayed in a real-life castle before. We don't have them back in the States."
He paused for a moment as he viewed the magnificent turrets and structure of Lednock Castle.
"Say, how old do you say the place is?"
"It was built in 1520, and then Mary, Queen of Scots, gave it to the first Earl of Strathcarron in 1542,
answered the Countess. "A real queen?" he gulped, his fleshy mouth hanging open.
"Land snakes alive, I take off my hat."
"Rankin, the butler, will show you to your room," suggested the Countess, taken aback by her guest's brash manner. "He shouts as if he is on top of a mountain,"
whispered Moira to her brother, as the American commented loudly upon everything he encountered.
"Perhaps he is deaf," offered Ewan mischievously.
Just then the Countess appeared and shooed them away from the foot of the staircase.
"Master Harwood would want some refreshment after he is unpacked. Moira, would you please go and tell cook that we will take tea in the drawing room and turn..."